for the word. I believe because of the word of God. Now, when you believe because of the word, it doesn't matter what somebody else come tell you, because you got a word. I've had a conversation with the Lord, and he's cleared up my understanding. I need my understanding cleared up.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
The Greater King David Baptist Church and Dr. John E. Montgomery II presents National Pastor Appreciation Day this Sunday at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. If Pastor Montgomery has been a blessing to you, here's an opportunity for you to be a blessing to him. With gifts, cards, love offerings, sent to Dr. John Montgomery at 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, 70806. And Cash App at $ Dr. JEM2. That's $ Dr. JEM2.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. 1 Kings, chapter 18. And I want us to look at verse 41 and a few of the following verses. 1 Kings, chapter 18, beginning at verse 41, recorded are these words. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Just want to speak from the subject. If you don't see nothing now, go again. If you don't see nothing now, go again. This is a familiar story, but it is also a fantastic story of faith and of true trust in God, believing to receive what God has promised to understand that God is a God of faith and he honors faith, and that every now and then when the flesh challenges our faith, we must hold securely to what God has said. One of the things that you'll note about this story is that this is a story of trials and tribulations and triumph. And the people of God, who in many instances have vacillated between serving God and serving the devil through idol worship and idol gods, is challenged at Mount Carmel. It is a showdown that takes place at Mount Carmel. There are 400 prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of what was known as the groves, the treed places. And so there were 850 opposers to Elijah who stood in the faith and the trust of his God. He was challenging the people of God to make up their mind about serving him and being committed and steadfast to that same promise. It is the people of God that he himself has spoken to that now brings him to the place where he is, because as he has challenged the king and said, because of the king's wicked ways and his evil wife, that God cut off rain and dew, because you do know Ahab was married to the proverbial Jezebel. And so because of his thinking and her actions, he cut the rain and dew off from the earth. And so everything had dried up. It had become a famine. And they wanted to kill the prophet because of the prophecy that was made. But then when the truth came out, and that was a showdown between Ahab, the king, and the prophet Elijah, the king blamed the prophet for the problems. But the prophet said, you need to look in the mirror, because the true problem is not me. I simply said what thus said the Lord, but you are the ones who manufactured your own misery, produced your own problems, and we are at this place because of your sins and shortcomings. He says, now the same God who said there wouldn't be any rain is the same God who said there's going to be rain. And so yet, because the people of God had been so unstable, inconsistent, not firm on following God, they vacillated between idol gods when it was comfortable and convenient, and then went back to God when it was comfortable and convenient. And so Elijah said, it's time to make the real God the real God. And put all pretenders to shame. Yes, and so as he called the people to make a choice that day, he said, listen, if God be God, let him be God. Because if he's really God, he's God when it's good. He's God when it's bad. He's God when you're up. He's God when you're down. He's God when you're happy. He's God when you're sad. He's God when you're healthy. He's God when you're not healthy. He's God all the time. So let him be God. But if Baal is God, then let Baal be God. And so the challenge was to take a bullock, to take a sacrificial animal, and to both build altars and place that sacrificial animal on the altar, and then call on the name of their God, and whatever God would answer by fire, let him be the true God. So of course you know the story. Elijah says, I'm already outnumbered, so since you think your God is real, I'm going to let you go, since you already outnumber me anyhow. Build your altar and make your sacrifice and call on your God. And they did. And they did so from the morning hours to the noon hours. Elijah was sitting over there looking at them, watching them. Nothing happened. He called out chanting, maybe you ought to call a little louder. Maybe your God is sleeping. He called out, call a little louder. Maybe your God is on vacation, journeying somewhere, and he can't hear you. He calls out, Tell your God, come on and hear your prayers, because they did not get a response. Listen, they started cutting themselves, pouring that blood onto the sacrifice, which represented a blood transfusion, because obviously there was no blood getting to the brain of their God, causing him to be filled with life and answering their prayers. It was all they could do to get their God to answer, and they kept calling to the 3 o'clock hour. Elijah said, it's enough. Now you've had 6 hours. It don't take no real God that long to answer. He puts his bullock on the altar that he had built, put 12 stones representing one stone per tribe of Israel. He dug a trench all around his sacrifice, got water, poured it on top of the sacrifice so that it saturated the meat of the sacrifice, ran down the altar, wet the wood up, ran down, filled the trenches. He kept on doing it. He did it one time, two time, three time. You know what it was for. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the... He did it that so much that it made it far more difficult for God to answer by fire. Now, that God didn't answer at all. With dry meat. He calls his God to answer with wet. And so when his God hears his prayer, which consists of 63 words, he then answers by burning up the sacrifice, burning up the altar, burning up the stones, and even evaporating the water so that everything was reduced to ashes. It was no mistake who was the true God. So the people saw that and they decided to worship the true God. But he said, wait, just so there is no mistake and just so you don't return back to your old ways, let's get all of the prophets of Baal and let's take them down to the brook of Kishon and slay them all there. And so all of them are taken down to the brook and they're all killed, because there was no need to have any more of that resurgence of that kind of evil spirit back in the face and in the presence of the people of God, influencing them in the wrong way. And so Ahab hears, Jezebel hears of what has happened. King Ahab and Elijah now confrontationally speaking, but Elijah happens to tell him that there is going to be rain. Look at it in the word, if you will, verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, which was to nourish himself. That was a 30-mile journey that they were about to embark upon. Listen to what he says. For there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now listen at this now. There's been a famine, a drought, for 3 years and 6 months. They don't need a shower. They need a true soaking rain, an abundance of rain. How many of you know when you've been dry for so long, you need some real saturation? See, some of you have been in a dry place so long, God is not going to just show up and give you a drizzle. He's going to give you a downpour. He's going to show enough, saturate you so that you will be able to flow and flourish again. Listen at this. He says this word. He says, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now, Ahab is right there, but Ahab doesn't hear no thunder. He doesn't hear anything in the natural realm. That's the difference between folk of the flesh and folk of the faith. The prophet heard in the spirit realm a rumbling and a shaking above the heavenlies. You see, that's why you got to understand, when you belong to God and you're on assignment for God, God will say some things right in the midst of you talking to and looking at and standing in the presence of folk of the flesh. And while you hear it clear as the day is bright and long, they'll be wondering what you're talking about, because they didn't hear one single solitary word. Now I just say there's a sound of an abundance of rain. Look at what he tells him to do. Verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. He told Ahab, you go get you something to eat, get yourself ready, because we got to move. And if there's an abundance of rain, he meant we need to move in a hurry before the abundance of rain flood out the roads and stop you from getting back to Jezreel. And so here he's eating and he's getting himself strengthened for the journey. But Elijah goes to Mount Carmel's top and he bows himself in the Eastern tradition, puts his face between his knees, and he begins to pray. That was usually the customary position of those with their legs bent and their face placed between their knees, and that's how many of them prayed. And he waited at the top of the mountain, the pinnacle of the mountain, praying and waiting on God, because there is a word that God gave to him. First of all, he recognized God kept him for 3.5 years while Ahab and Jezebel were trying to kill him. And then when God orders him to show up and to share what God has said, now he recognizes if God doesn't do what he said he's going to do, he's sure enough going to be killed, because now he's exposed again to the king. And so now as Elijah has come and challenged Ahab to understand the prophecy of God and now promises to bring rain, showing him that it is God, the true God, who is able to give, who is able to judge, who is able to do all that he desires according to his own word, now realizes that Jezebel and all of her prophets are no match for God and his prophet. And so he's getting ready now after hearing this word. But the man of God knows that what he has heard was heard in the spirit realm, and there was no evidence of it in the natural realm. See, can I tell you sometime, my brothers and sisters, when God speaks so prophetically to you, so profoundly to you, he's usually going to do it where there are no signs. You see, if it looked like it was going to be that way, if it had been cloudy, it wouldn't have been no problem for him to say, I hear an abundance of rain. And Ahab looking at him say, yeah, it does look a bit cloudy. Hadn't looked that way in 3.5 years. But the sun was shining brighter than it had ever shone before. And here there was no sign of rain. And he heard because God had spoken, if you read up, to tell him that there was going to be rain sent back on the earth. So he prophesies to the king. But as he prophesies to the king, he patiently waits for God to do what God said, promised he would do. And can I tell you, when God promised you he's going to do something, you ought to be passionate about it. It ought not be about what you feel. It ought not be what you see. It ought not be what you hear in the natural realm. It's about what God said. And you ought to be passionate about it, because God, number one, is not a man. Therefore, he cannot lie. Anything he says is going to come to pass. And so here are some things that you need to hold on to as believers. If God said it, there ought not be no reason to doubt it. You ought to encourage your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, if God said it, there ought not be any reason to doubt it. Why? Because his record is clear and his word is sure. God has never failed any promise he has made to any believer who trust him and try him. They will triumph in him. Listen at this word, because I want you to see this. I want you to see this. He goes now, and his meditative state of praying and positioning himself. Here's verse 43. He says to his servant who's standing by, go up now, look toward the sea. Because now and then, where we are presently, we don't see signs. Sometimes you've got to move to another position to see things. Listen, and most storms and most great, great storms usually began over great bodies of water. So knowing this, especially in the Eastern culture, he tells them, go look down by the sea. Get closer to the water and see what is making up in the heavens. In other words, there are times when you got to do your part and do what you know how to do and set yourself up by faith to at least walk in the wisdom that you do have. So he sends the servant while he remains in the place he's in to go look and see for what God said. Now I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, he could have stayed right there and not sent his servant anywhere and just say, God, I'm going to wait right here. But what he wanted to happen was his servant, in many cases, you see the word he uses him to bring his faith to another level, to go and see the sign of God's promise. You see, sometimes, my brothers and sisters, where you are, you may not be able to see what God wants you to see. Sometimes you've got to move. Tell your neighbor you got to move sometime. Sometimes, listen at this, God wants you to move from your place of comfort and look intently for what he has promised. He goes up, it's in the word here. He goes up and looked and said, there is nothing. How many times has the Lord promised you something? And being a child of faith, you looked for it. You didn't look long. And you didn't look hard. You just looked. And you came back and you said, listen, not I see nothing, but there is nothing. You see, if he had said, I see nothing, then it would have been limited to his view. But when he said, there is nothing, what he's saying is God didn't do what he promised he would do. I want you to see this. He goes up, he makes the assessment, the evaluation, that there is nothing. Prophet told him, go see. Prophet had already gotten the confirmation in his spirit that God has said it, God has already ordered it and ordained it, and he's getting ready to operate in it. And all the man of God told him to do was go see the preview. Yeah. Mm. You see, he's got to go back and tell Ahab, you need to put your food down now, get yourself girded up, get in your chariot and go. So he's telling the man of God, the servant of God, the servant of the prophet to God, go get a preview of what's getting ready to come so I can give him a head start before the rain gets here. But the prophet to the servant of the servant of the prophet came back and said, there is nothing. Well, first of all, the prophet knew he came back too quick. You know when parents give you an assignment and you come back and it's half done? They know it's half done because you did it too quick. Lord, I wish I had some parents in the house. You knew it wasn't done right because they just came back too quick. And then when you checked it out, it was as you had suspected, not done right because they rush the job. See, sometimes when God says something to you, you got to learn to wait on him. You got to learn it doesn't happen as instantly and immediately sometimes, because in the process of the promise, he is steadily developing you. He's steadily bringing you to the point and place of maturity. He's steadily bringing you to a point of development so that you will become mature in the things that he has said and assigned. And so the servant said, there is nothing. But look at what the prophet says. He says, go again. He could have said, oh, well, I guess God was wrong. But notice the position he takes. There's nothing wrong with the promise of God. There's nothing wrong with the promise of God. There is nothing wrong with the provisions of God. If there is a problem, the problem is with us. So he tells the seer, go back and see what you didn't see. It's there, you just didn't see it. Remember, the servant said, there is nothing. And if God said there is something, then what you need to do is wait till out of nothing he makes something. How many witnesses know God can make something out of nothing? Lord, I wish I had a real believer in the house, because if the truth be told, all we got to do is look at us and know he made something out of nothing. The book of beginnings revealed when there was nothing, nowhere, no how, God out of nowhere spoke something and everything came into being. So I'm here to tell you, he's got a record out of making something out of nothing. There is nothing. Can I tell you, those are perfect conditions for God to prosper in. There is nothing. God likes you to see what you don't see, and then what you don't see and he knows is there, makes it come right before your eyes when you really want to see it. There is nothing. God likes you to say, it's got to be a God to make something out of nothing, because I looked and I saw and there was nothing. And then you look again and you'll see God doing something different. See, here's the thing. Elijah kept sending the servant back. And every time he sent him back, he sent him back with a greater resolve. Comes back, first time, there is nothing. Go again. He marches down the mountain, goes down to the sea, looks, stays a little bit longer this time, goes back up the mountaintop. Elijah, servant reporting for duty, sir, there is nothing. Go again. Goes back down the mountain, marches out to the sea, looks out this time, stays a little bit longer, looks a little bit harder, comes back up, go back up the mountain. Reporting the dude again, sir, there is nothing. Four time, go again. Here we go, go back down the mountain. I wish you could see the picture here. Because every time he says, go again, he said it until the seventh time. And you know, being a believer, being in church for any amount of time, I don't have to hang out on the number seven too long to tell you it's the perfect number. It's the complete number. It's the four corners of the earth, the three in the number of the Godhead, four and three, seven, making a total completion and perfection. It was on the seventh time that he was told, go again. He marches down the mountain, goes to the sea, and he stays out there this time. Long enough, looks far enough. He looks so far till he sees a cloud. It's a big, beautiful sky, but he sees one cloud. But it's not a significant cloud, because he says the cloud looks like the size of a man's hand. Now, what it literally was saying was, it's so far away, and he looked so hard to see it beyond what was common and what was close and what was that he himself could conceive, until he looked and saw by faith that cloud. And he comes up and he makes the report. Look at the word, if you will. Verse 44 says, and it came to pass at the seventh time. Somebody say the seventh time. That he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Listen at this. How many of you know that God, and the story is not complete yet, but I want to pause here and just throw out parenthetically that you need to stop despising your little. I said you need to stop despising your little. You need to stop seeing little as insufficient. You need to stop seeing little as not being sufficient to do what is necessary to do. Because listen at this, out of this little cloud, the size of a man's hand, comes an abundance of rain. It really wasn't all about what he saw. It was about what God said, and God as the source. And God is so powerful. Listen, it wouldn't have been a major thing for him to fill the clouds with rain and fill the sky with clouds. But look at this, that God would send an abundance of rain through the cloud that was viewed as the size of a man's hand. I don't believe you got that. See, God don't need big things to do big things with.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of